I'm interested really in just a little bit, but I want everybody to be on the same page. And so when you come, if you were to have turned back in your Bible, you would find that the Lord Jesus Christ had appeared unto Paul, and he told him, he said, "As thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou also testify of me in Rome." And you find that God has been organizing this whole thing, this whole plan, this whole path. And along the way, the Apostle Paul had to endure some things and had to be brought before some judgment seats and that sort of thing. And by the time you open up to Acts chapter 26 begins as one of the happiest chapters in your Bible, and it ends as one of the saddest. And I want you to understand that the Apostle Paul is now before King Agrippa. And he's getting ready to be judged based upon what had happened in Jerusalem. Notice verse 19, the Bible picks up and says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa," he said, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." He said, "but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God, do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me, having therefore obtained the help of God." Boy, that's a good word right there. Amen. He said, "I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and to great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people, to the Gentiles. As he spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. He said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. Speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?" He said, "I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Heavenly Father, I bow my head before you tonight. Lord, I sure pray, God, you'd help us. Lord, in the house of God, I thank you, Lord, for every song that's been sung tonight. I'm glad, Lord, that we've got a better hope and got a better place to go. And God, I'm sure enough glad. Every time I come to one of these places in the Bible where I see somebody made the wrong choice, God, I sure am thankful I can go back in my mind as they sang that song that they was a day and the crossroads of my life. And Lord, the sweet Holy Ghost came by. And I'm glad you chose me. And I'm sure glad I chose you. I pray, Lord, help us tonight. And the Father, may the power of God deal with the word of God and put it in the hearts of the people. Lord, I pray. Help us now, Lord Jesus, we beg. And the Lord, we ask you all these favors in Christ's name. For his sake, I pray. Amen and amen. And we come to a very serious topic. And everybody in this room, no doubt, is mindful of the fact. And the verse number 28. And Agrippa said unto Paul, that's some of the saddest words ever recorded in your Bible. He said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." I looked up what the word "almost" meant. It meant the greater part was given to it. It meant that whenever you say "almost," that it meant that the majority of it was there. But I want you to understand, friend, that the majority of being a Christian, or the majority of believing what the Bible says, and will not get it done. Amen. It'll take you going all the way. And the Apostle Paul said, "I'm persuaded that not only almost, but altogether." I want you to understand verse number 29. He said, "Altogether such as I am." He said, "except these bonds." And the boy, I got to thinking about that subject. Almost persuaded. I wonder how many folks going to wind up in hell. And they've been almost persuaded. I mean, how many times they've said, and to thank God, I've watched watched so many a time. I've stood in this church, I can't tell you how many times I've watched the folks do the little and stand out from where they're at. I've watched them come out in the aisle. I've watched them go back and forth. I've seen folks be dealing as the Holy Ghost of God is moving on their heart. And they know they're lost and they need to be saved. I thank God right down in here they want to be saved. But they, something stands between them and God. And so they exit out of the place and they're still lost. I got to thinking about this subject. You understand that as he stood before King Agrippa on this day, there's no doubt in my mind. I got to wondering, I wonder what it was about the Apostle Paul and almost persuaded him. I want you to look with me if you will. I'll give you a few things. I'll be done tonight. But notice in verse number 2 of Acts chapter 26, the Bible says these words. I'll read verse 1. He said, Agrippa said to Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And Paul stretched forth his hand and he answered for himself. And verse 2 he said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. He said, because I shall answer for myself. I'd say this to you tonight, friend. I believe he is almost persuaded simply due to his demeanor. I want you to understand just the fact that the Apostle Paul was happy, amen. It messed him up, thank God. Oh, listen, friend. I got to thinking about the Apostle Paul. He's been bound down in prison for the last 2 years, honey. And they're right down here, no doubt. It's until what all he's endured. He's been bound down. He's been beaten down. And my friend, he's endured blow after blow. And when he stands before him that day, and they look to see that he ought to be sad, or he ought to be miserable, and maybe he ought to be bitter. But instead he said, I think myself happy, amen. Oh, listen, don't make no mistake about it. My friend, a good demeanor, it'll go a mighty long way for getting the gospel to somebody. When you stand in this place tonight, oh, hear me today, and you've taken blow after blow, and you've went through life, and you're still standing happy in the Lord, it's a mighty good testimony to folks that ain't saved, amen. I thought about this, listen, I'll tell you, this been troubling my heart just about all day. I'll tell you, the other side of that is, you get real bitter and find out what kind of testimony that is, amen. I'll tell you one thing that bothers me in the Bible, and one of the stories that always troubles my heart. I don't know if there's an Old Testament book that I like better than I like the book of Ruth. I love everything about it. I love where Ruth sat. I love how God finds her. I love how Boaz woos him to himself. I mean, I love the whole book except for one part of it. And I always think, Ty, I wonder if old Naomi had had a better attitude, if it might have affected Orpah as well. You understand that old Naomi went down there and she blamed God for about everything. It was her husband that went down into Moab. It was her that went down there and stayed. But my friend, after she lost her husband, after she lost both of her kids, she came back and her testimony to everybody around her was, I want you to look how the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. Amen. God didn't have nothing to do with it, thank God. She ought not have left the place she was, thank God. But when she shows up, she said, don't call me Naomi no more. You know what Naomi means, thank God? It means the pleasant one. And she said, you call me Mara. You know what that means? It means bitter, amen. And I've often thought, I wonder if her testimony would have been a better testimony if she'd have bragged on the Lord more. I wonder if Orpah would have wanted to go. But oh, listen, I'll tell you this. Why in the world would some people want what some Christians say they got? They're bitter about life. They're bitter about everything happening around them. Everywhere they go, that's the shape they're in. But not the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul stands up that day and oh, they look and they think he's going to give them money. Maybe he's going to beg for his life. Talk about how miserable the conditions are. And instead, Paul looks back and says, man, I'm sure happy. Thank God. And look here, you know that I had to do something in his heart. Amen. I thought about this. How you say, preacher, I don't know what that'll do to me. I tell you, look in the Bible. Some of your favorite stories is because of somebody's demeanor in the Bible. And when they come up in Daniel chapter 3 and they say, three Hebrew children, how you're going to have to bow. And old Nebuchadnezzar says, who is that God that shall deliver you then? Boy, they said, we are not answer. We are not careful.
had to answer thee, O King Nebuchadnezzar, concerning this matter. And said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. But thank God, but said, but if not, amen. In other words, they're looking for him to be afraid. And instead they said, throw us in there. That'll be fine, thank God. Hey, Nathaniel, the good parts are coming out, amen. And it make no difference to them. He said, get it warm and toasty. You put us in there. And God may not deliver us out of the fire. But you need to know we're not bowing down to God, amen. I'm bowing down to your God. I'm telling you, what about it on over there in the book of Daniel? And they say, I mean, I love it, thank God. And when they're looking for Daniel to be afraid, Josh, he said, the decree's been signed. Whoever asks anything of any king other than old Darius, he said, it'd be cast into the den of lions. And boy, I love how the Bible reads it. It says, and after he knew the decree was signed. I mean, thank God. He said, I'll tell you what, that decree's been signed. My life's about to be gone. And thank God he didn't go hide somewhere, Brother Savage. And, Daniel. He knew who he had believed in. Amen. And Daniel goes down there and with the windows open the same way he always had. In the morning, in the night, and thank God, and at noontime, he just got to calling out to God. And when they showed up, I love how the story goes. Everybody's worried but Daniel. Amen. By the time that thing's over, the only person still standing without being worried is Daniel, amen. The king couldn't sleep. He's up all night. He's worried to death. He's fasting. And whenever Daniel comes out of the lion's den, everybody else is afraid. But old Daniel just goes down and he says, my God was able to shut the lion's mouth. I'm telling you, thank God. When he stepped out and Nebuchadnezzar saw the three Hebrews and they said, that's God, amen. And when Daniel stepped out, they said, that's God, amen. And whenever Paul stand before Agrippa, hey, listen, Paul said, I know you believe. He knew right here that was God, amen. Oh, listen, your demeanor's got a long ways to go. Hard to look here, friend. Praise God. Hard to get up and have the Mully Grubs every day and then try to convince somebody to have it too. Amen. I'd say, well, listen, all I've ever done since I've been a Christian, sir, have you suffered like Paul has? Amen. And Paul was beaten three times shipwrecked, one time he was stoned, and thank God, despite all of it, he's still happy. Amen. I can't see out of his eye. I got to have somebody else do that. I've got to have somebody else write letters down in a Mamertine prison. Got no good food, got no good condition. And at one point in time, he's got nobody else. But it says, nonetheless, the Lord stood with him. Amen. And thank God. Listen, friend. That's why he was happy. Amen. Hey, thank God, friend. You may not have a friend, but if you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be happy. Amen. Paul said, I'm happy. I'm telling you, his demeanor almost would be persuaded. You ever watch somebody go through things? And when you watch them go through things, just how happy they are. If you didn't have what they had, you'd want it. Amen. 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 I tell folks all this story all the time. Brother Creston, he's here and he'll hear it anyway. Brother Creston, if y'all, one time at the four-way in Allard, a drunk ran over him and it crushed his ankle. And he called me on the phone, his ankle's crushed. I'm sure that felt real good. His ankle's crushed on that thing. And he calls me on the phone. He says, oh, Brother Kevin, he said, I want you to pray. He said, this fella over here don't know the Lord. And he said, I need to go tell him about it. I thought, if a drunk hit me, praise God, and crushed my ankle, my first thought may not be sharing the gospel with them. Amen. I mean, I'm being honest with you. But when he said that, you just have to step back and think to yourself. And see, it's his demeanor, you understand. And it's the demeanor of folks in our church. When you're out and about, hey, listen, I know not everybody's life's way up here. I understand these folks suffering. But when you walk through those things and you're still happy because of what God's done for you, you'd be surprised how far that goes. Hey, listen, in convincing somebody about the Lord. Almost, listen, I want you to watch what your Bible says. He's almost persuaded because of his demeanor. But then I thought, secondly, you find in the scripture, he's almost persuaded because of his devotion. Verse number 19, the Bible says this. He says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, he said, I was not disobedient unto that heavenly vision. I want you to understand this, friend, that a faithful life is an impactful life. And don't never doubt that, amen. And say, preacher, I don't feel like I'm doing much. I'll tell you what y'all do, keep being faithful to God, amen. And don't leave, look at me, moms and dads, would you listen to me? And don't never leave no question in your kids' mind how important Christ is, amen. And you say, preacher, I ain't shouting the house of God. I'll tell you what you ought to be, y'all just keep being faithful to God. And you'd be surprised at how far a faithful life will go in convincing somebody about the Lord, amen. And Paul was standing up there that day. He said, I'd like to tell you what happened to me. He said, I had everything. I stood at the feet of Gamaliel. I was going places in life. He said, but on the road to Damascus that day, he said, thank God that light that was a bright and the brightness of the noonday sun had shined down about him. And he said, thank God I was not disobedient. And look here, friend, I was telling Akim the other day. I said, Akim, I hope you know this. I said, one of the most powerful testimonies that you got is when you stand before Americans and you say, I was on the national team. I was getting ready to be a professional soccer player. And one night I was in the bush and getting ready to catch a bus and to go to the team. And that night I got saved by the grace of God and I told them they could have the rest. Amen. Hey, thank God. I mean, that stirs my heart. That's what Americans are after. And he had it in the palm of his hand and he said, I count all of that but dung. Amen. He said, go kick your own ball. He said, I'm going to serve God. Amen. And boy, thank God that stirs my heart. I'm saying this to you, friend. A life of devotion goes a mighty long way. Hey, look here, dear neighbor. I mean, you start thinking about folk. I came to test you. Say, preacher, I'm not impacting nobody. Everybody look up here at me. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, and Noah by faith, and being warned of God, of things not seen as of yet, he moved with fear, and he prepared an ark, I like the next part, and sent to the saving of his house. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. And said, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. I'll tell you what happened in his life. He said, I believe I'll just keep on hammering. Amen. And he may not got of everybody on board, but whenever Noah left out, thank God he left out with him, his wife, his three boys, and their three wives. And they was eight of them, made it on the other side. A brand new beginning. You say, why, preacher? Because he was devoted, amen. Devoted. He just kept going and going. I get discouraged sometimes, don't you? I mean, not near like I probably should. I'm not smart enough to get too discouraged sometimes. I've been on this way just a little long enough to think, people's people, and they don't look here. I don't even know what to tell people's people. Thank God, and they're going to love you one minute, hate you next minute, that's fine. But all I know is this, I'm going to keep serving the Lord. He started out loving me, still loving me, and the last time I checked, he's gone. Listen, Doug, if tomorrow, if you hurt my feelings, you know where I'll be Wednesday night if I'm not dead. I'll be right back here in the house of God. And the Brother Savage, and if you hurt my feelings, hey man, you get up and preach all over me. Hey, come Wednesday night, I'll be sitting right back here. And if everybody says, Brother Ken, we don't want you to come back here, you might have to just blow me out. But with the good help of God, I'll be right somewhere in the house of God. You know why? Thank God. It's important to me for my boys, Chase, have to understand this thing ain't about daddy and it ain't about mommy. This thing's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't help what folks do. But what I can tell you is this. As Paul's standing up there and he says, I've already counted the cost. I've already done some figuring. And I figure it's worth being faithful for. Amen. And so he kept being devoted. In Philippians chapter 3. Hey, look here, friend. He said, you know the Philippians 3:7. He said, I do count all those things. He said, but loss, amen. He said, those things are nothing. He said, hey, Agrippa, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. In verse 21, he said, from whence our conversation. It is in heaven. He said, I ain't worried about this place. I've got that place on my mind. And I ain't worried about you because I'm after him. Amen. And thank God somewhere between that, it messed Agrippa up. He said, I can't figure this guy out. Amen. There's something about it. He said, I'm trying to. He said, wait a second. You just see Agrippa up there looking at him. And he said, you had it all. You had whatever Jew wanted. You had power. You had prestige. Home in the Sanhedrin. I mean, you was going places. And you met Jesus. And you decided, I didn't go about those places no more. I believe I just go after the Lord. And you mean to tell me that the first time... Now look here, friend. No, nobody get too discouraged on me right now. You understand the first time that Paul ever went to do something for the Lord, there's so many people come and killed him that they had to open up a window and let him down out of a basket. And while they're letting him down out of that basket, don't you know the devil came up and said, wrong decision. Wrong decision. You was getting ready to ride in chariots and go in royalties. Now you're scouring down. And you had, thank God, look here. I'm about to get happy on y'all. Said you're getting lowered down through baskets like a nobody. I can just see the Holy Ghost just come up. Just go beside him and say, hey, I'm going to let you write a book to Romans. He said, I'm going to give you a verse out of it. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. And Paul just said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not intending to sit on thrones down here. How about go ahead and mark her down? There's a rain coming, amen. Hey, look here, Agrippa won't be on the throne then. He won't be judging no cities then. How about there'll be a fellow, thank God, who traded this world for the next world. You best believe God will honor him then. I'm saying this. His devotion almost persuaded him. I mean, you get somebody that's real. I mean, look here, first time Dave Barnhouse ever heard him preach, Black Oak Baptist Church, if he'd have had a sign-up sheet for who wanted to go be a missionary in Papua New Guinea, I'd have signed myself up and everybody I knew. I'm honest. Bill Boggs was with me. He said, are we going to sign up to be missionaries tonight? You know why that is, Kathy? You just sit back and you look at somebody and you say, man, they've gave everything they had to go get the gospel to somebody. And it does something right here. And you can't help it. Even if you don't have the dedication they have, there's something right here that gets to stirring and says, man, I'd sure like to have that. I'd sure like to have that. And you know what? That's a Lord deal in your heart. That thing's that there's things more important in this world. I'm saying this, his devotion. Almost persuaded me. I want you to watch this last thing. And I'll be done preaching. But I want to know verse 23. I mean, I might not be. I might preach for 2 hours. I don't know. The Bible says verse 23. He says that Christ should suffer, that he should first, that they should rise from the dead. Show light to the people and to the Gentiles. I'll tell you this, his doctrine almost persuaded him. Now I want you to look, everybody look up here at me. I think about this when I preach often. You may not be persuaded because of my love. But if you ain't persuaded because of his love, I can't help you. You may say, Kevin don't love us. The church don't love us. Jamestown don't love us. My parents don't love us. But you ain't never looked at God. You might have said it, but it ain't been true. We love him because he first loved us. God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. I mean, look here, friend. I'm talking about God sent his own son. He said, I want you to know he suffered and died. Jesse's trying to figure out what was wrong with Paul. Festus thought he was just crazy. He said, you've done learned too much and you're mad. And Paul had been studying a different book. Thank God, wasn't the same thing they was thinking. He said, you're right. A little crazy for this world. A little crazy for this world. I want you to know something, friend. There's a lot of folks, and they'll not never be persuaded by my love, but if you ain't persuaded by his... My light might not never shine bright enough to persuade you. It ought to. We ought to reflect the glory of God. such a way that there's no doubt. But even if my light's not bright enough, his light still is. Amen. I mean, even if my love's not good enough, his is. Even if my light's not good enough, his is. I'm telling you, he stood there before him, told him how he suffered, how he died, how he resurrected. And the whole time that Agrippa thought Paul's in my court, what he did not know was Agrippa was in God's court. He was not the prosecutor. He was on the defensive. Witnesses were being levied against him. At the end of it, he said, after I've got all the evidence, he said, I'm just about this far away from becoming a Christian. And I'm terrified of how many folks are sitting in this church. And they're about this close. Almost will never be good enough. Stand to your feet, I'm clearing my heart. I want you to know this, friend. My life may not never be lived in such a way to convince you of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, come play. My life, I hope it is. My life may never be lived in a way to convince you around me. But his life is enough. Might find fault with everybody in this church, but everybody who ever examined Christ said the same things. Find no fault in this man. Look here, friend, it's not between me and you. It's between you and God. Between you and Christ. When you and Christ.